Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Are you a practicing Christian? If so, what does that practice look like? What does it mean to be a practicing Christian? We're studying the book of James, and we come today to the final paragraph in chapter 1, where James defines true religion. In verse 26, James describes a certain way of living and says, if you do that, your religion is worthless. Then in the next verse, he begins by saying, religion that God accepts as pure and undefiled is this. What is it that will make your religious practice acceptable or unacceptable to God?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made a man and a woman, and he put them in a garden paradise as husband and wife. And he gave them one command, and they broke that command. They rebelled against him, and so they were expelled from the garden. And the world was cursed. That is the story of how this world got started and then got so messed up. That's how everything ended up the way it is. That's the first three chapters of the Bible. But if you were God and you're writing the Bible, you're revealing your heart to mankind, what would you put in chapter 4? I mean, you start out with the first three chapters. This is how the world got started. This is how the world got messed up. Then you got Adam and Eve. They get expelled from the garden. Then they have kids. Then what? What happened after that? Well, we don't know, because decades pass without anything being recorded. Cain and Abel grow up and become adults, and all those years growing up, not one single thing ever happened that God thought was worth putting in his word. Until one day. One day, something happened, and it was so important, God saw it, and he says, okay, right there, that is going in the Bible. In fact, it's so important, that's going to be the very first thing I tell humanity after the opening section in verses 1 to 3, or chapters 1 to 3. People will open their Bibles and they'll say, what does God have to say to me? What's the first thing right out of the gate that God has to say to mankind, fallen mankind, after the Garden of Eden? And it's this event that happened on this particular day. So, what happened? What was it? Here's what happened. Two people came to worship God, and God accepted the worship of one of them and rejected the worship of the other one. That's what happened. Now, think about that. What does that tell you? The fact that the very first thing God wants to say to the human race starting out in this fallen world is, here's an example of worship that's acceptable. Here's an example of worship that's not acceptable. What does that tell you about what's important to God? The most important thing in life is worship. And God does not accept all worship, contrary to popular belief. God wants us to understand the most important question in life is, does God accept my worship or reject it? That's the question. Now, later on in the Bible, God gave his law to the people through Moses, and he went on for chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter on all these things about what's acceptable and clean in religion and what's unacceptable and unclean and defiled in religion. And sometimes our eyes glaze over, frankly, when we're reading those books. We're reading about all those details. There's so much detail, and it can be very boring. But God put all that in there because he wanted to create an elaborate system that touched on every single detail of life so that we would understand that every second of every minute of every hour of every day, we must be engaging in acceptable, pleasing religion and not unacceptable religion. All of life is an effort to engage in true, undefiled, acceptable religion. And so this little chapter, or this little section at the end of chapter 1 of James is immensely valuable to us because look what he says in verse 27. James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. And then he tells us. So in our study, our verse-by-verse study through James chapter 1, we come today to some direct instruction on the most important topic that there is. True worship. True religion. Every one of you is here this morning because you're religious. But the big question in life is not whether or not you're religious. It's whether or not God accepts your religion. The big question in life is whether your religion is acceptable and pleasing to God or defiled and displeasing and rejected by God. And this passage is designed to help us with that. So look at verse 26. He says, if anyone considers himself religious. Now let me just define that word religious, because sometimes we use the word religion in different ways. Typically we'll use the word religion to refer like to a belief system or a body of doctrine. Like, you know, the Muslim religion or the Christian religion or the Hindu religion. That's not what this word means, this particular word. This word refers to religious observance. Specifically, the various things that you do to express your fear of God, worship of God, love for God. That's what this word, it's how you behave before God. Religion, the definition of this word religion, how you behave toward God. Okay, it's your behavior. And James is speaking specifically here about Christian religion. We know that just a couple verses later, he says, he identifies their religion as their faith in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so this is faith in Christ religion. He's not talking to pagans, he's talking to Christians who have actually placed their faith in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. So when he says, if anyone considers himself religious, if you put that into our lingo, it would come out, if anyone considers himself to be a committed practicing Christian. That's what he's talking about. He's going to give us a definition of a practicing Christian. This is what a practicing Christian is. And that's interesting because that phrase, practicing Christian, the one who's most famous for using that phrase, I think, is George Barna. George Barna, in all his surveys he does, defines practicing Christian as anyone who says that faith in Christ is very important in their life and they go to church. That's a practicing Christian. And I think that's pretty close to how most people would probably define the word. You know, you're practicing Christian. You read the Bible, you go to church. We've been talking in the last few verses here as we're going through James on putting the Word of God into practice, being a doer of God's Word. Every day you have your devotions. At the end of your devotions, you write down, today I will, and then you just describe some specific actions you're going to take today to put God's Word into practice. We've been talking about doing that, but the question came up last time in the Q&A, what does that look like? What counts as doing? What qualifies as doing God's Word? I mean, is it church going, Bible reading, all that kind of stuff? Is that what James means by being a doer of the Word? And James' answer to that is no. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You need to do those things. You need to come to church. You need to read your Bible in order to become a doer of God's Word. But that stuff isn't what I mean by doing. James, what do you mean by doing? Well, here's what he means. Verse 26, things like this. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that's pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You're not doing those things? You're not a practicing Christian. George Barna is forever coming out with these polls saying that, oh, practicing Christians' behavior isn't any different than the world. You know, you've probably heard these polls. Among practicing Christians, the divorce rate is just as high as it is among the world. And, you know, among practicing Christians, they look at pornography just as much as the people in the world. And it's all the same. And you have to wonder if George Barna ever read James 1. I think if the Apostle James ever met Barna, he would say, George, these statistics you're coming up with are nonsense. If their behavior isn't any different, then by definition, they're not practicing Christians. If your Christianity doesn't reach as far as your speech, your love, and your purity, it doesn't exist. That's what James is saying. James is always so practical. He'll never leave anything in the abstract. He wants it. First he tells us, receive the word. And by receive the word, I mean obey God's law. And by obey God's law, I mean do it. And by do it, I mean do things like control your tongue and help the needy and avoid worldliness. Like he just spells it out for us. That's true religion. And it's a very good thing. True religion is a good thing. I just need to say that because it's not fashionable in our culture to
speak well of religion. Everybody's kind of down on religion. You hear people say that in the culture all the time. Oh, I'm not very religious. I'm very spiritual. I'm spiritual, not religious. And, of course, anybody's guess what they mean by that. In most cases, it's probably just a way that they can reject religion and still not seem like a bad person. But in our culture, people just don't like this concept of religion. And so one popular strategy among Christians who want to share their faith and reach the lost is to agree with that. To go ahead and say, yeah, I hate religion too. I'm not religious. Christianity's not a religion. It's a relationship. Right? And there was a guy that made a video on YouTube a couple years ago titled, Why I Hate Religion. And he starts out by saying, what have I told you? Jesus came to abolish religion. Religion's the problem. Jesus hated religious people. He's rebuked religious people. He came to destroy religion. His whole point is, Christianity's not a religion. It's a relationship. People take that tactic. They use that approach because they want to relate to people who are rejecting Christianity because they just don't like organized religion. And they still want to reach those people. And that's a noble goal. But is it a good strategy? No, it's not a good strategy. It's a bad strategy because true religion is a good thing, not a bad thing. According to James, true religion is the goal. He's speaking of it well here. And Jesus never rebuked anybody for being religious. Jesus rebuked religious hypocrites, not for being religious, but for being hypocrites. That's the problem, isn't their religion, it's their hypocrisy. Now, is Christianity a relationship? Yeah, of course it is. Yes, it is. But it's a religious relationship. It's religious. God is not just our neighbor. He's not just some guy. He's our creator, and he's to be worshipped with reverence and awe and fear. That's religion. We can't just throw out religion because religion is the way you behave towards God. You got to behave some way towards God. Religion is the external expression of what we believe, what's on the inside. Christianity is, yes, it is a relationship, but for sure, it's a relationship. But can you think of any love relationship where the external expressions are unimportant and don't matter? I mean, if your wife came up and gave you a big hug and a passionate kiss, would you say, what's up with all the external trappings and physical outward expressions of marriage? You're such a legalist. Would you say that? I mean, would you say, don't you realize, woman, that relationships are an issue of the heart, not external physical trappings and ceremony? If you came to your wife and you said, look, I don't give you flowers. I don't say I love you. I don't help you with the dishes. I don't smile at you across the room. I don't do all that stuff because relationships are a matter of the heart, not external trappings. She would say, yeah, you're right. They're a matter of the heart. And obviously there's nothing in your heart for me. I can tell you don't love me. Because there's no such thing as unexpressed love. If it's not expressed, there's no relationship.
Thousands of years ago, Cain and Abel offered worship, and God accepted one and rejected the other. What kind of worship could you offer today that God would accept? If someone you live with claimed to love you but never did anything loving toward you, you wouldn't be convinced. True love will always find a way to express itself. So consider your love for God. What do the actions of your life say about how much you love Him? And what could you do today to express love to Him?
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.